you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 172 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is Rick Purick. Rick is a solo practitioner here in Southern Maryland. People don't often think of Maryland as being, you know, having a southern part and an eastern part, but we do. Southern Maryland is different from the Eastern Shore and certainly different from Western Maryland. So with your geography lesson behind you today, Rick was a young guy who went into the Army, came out of the Army, and went to law school, as you'll hear, and then became a prosecutor, worked in the state's attorney's office in a couple of different counties here in the state, and then ultimately opened his own practice, largely focusing on criminal defense, but he also does a lot of other things. And, you know, Rick claims to have listened to every episode of The Law Entrepreneur. He said he joined us early in the process and has since backtracked and filled in the missing episodes. And he used that kind of as a roadmap for creating his law firm. And so, one, I'm humbled by that. But two, I was really interested in hearing what decisions he made based on what he heard and what his practice looks like now. So, without any further delay, let's find out how he did it. So here's Rick Purick. Rick Purick, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hi, Neil. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I am stoked that you're here, Rick. Tell our audience, though, a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yes. Well, Neil, so I own a law practice called the Purick Law LLC. It's a general practice firm located in Maryland. Like I said, it's general practice, but we do the bulk of our clients are criminal in nature. The way I came to the practice was that I was a prosecutor in Calvert County and Prince George's County in Maryland, and had a heart attack in court one morning during motions. And after that was all said and done, it was clear that it was time for me to build something of my own. At which point I went out, worked in the private sector for a little bit, and came and opened Purick Law. And it's been a blessing, and I've enjoyed it thus far.
Well, I've had a couple of heart attacks in court before, but they weren't actual heart attacks. They were they were more kind of emotional heart attacks. So that had to be a scary proposition for you.
It was, you know, and at the time, I thought I just had really bad heartburn, which is why I didn't go to the doctor sooner. But it was scary, and it was scary more for my wife and family. But, you know, it really kind of opens your eyes and lets you see that, you know, your time on here is short, and you got to make the most of it.
Yeah, well, I know it's not the thing you want to talk about the most, but obviously it made some changes in your life, not just professionally, but personally as well. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, on the personal front, I started doing things that us attorneys don't do very often, exercising, taking care of myself, eating right. But also, you know, my father was an entrepreneur. So for me, it was important to, you know, have a legacy, to open up a firm that I could, you know, help folks with and make my mark. And so Purick Law has done that for me. And it's been great to be able to help folks.
You know, a lot of folks, you know, it's six of one, half a dozen the other. You know, people say, well, gee, you opened your own practice and now you work half a day. You just have to figure out which 12 hours that's going to be. Or on the flip side of that, others say it's given me a quality of life, a work-life balance that I couldn't otherwise have achieved. So it sounds as if it's the latter that was kind of enticing to you in terms of trying to get a hold of something.
Right. You know, for me, part of my background, I haven't really talked about it. So I was in the military for 9 years. And so I joined the Army when I was in high school. And so for me, working hard has never been an issue. In fact, Right. Stopping the work has been more of the problem for me. And so, but for me, it has been the latter, just the flexibility of being able to put something down for a couple hours, take a kid to a kickball game or a swim lesson and come back and be able to still work on my clients. But just be able to have that flexibility to kind of be where I am, where I want to be there.
And you said that the entrepreneurial spirit was in your genes. Your father was an entrepreneur, business owner?
Correct.
So was it always in the back of your mind, even when you were prosecuting, that at some point you wanted to go into private practice on your own?
You know, I think it was, Neil. You know, I think I started listening to The Law Entrepreneur early on. I believe I know I have in fact listened to all the episodes because I think I started listening around your third or fourth episode and went back and listened to everything. And so I've always been taking notes on the little things, the little recommendations that your guests provide to you on. The different software, different hardware configurations, those things I found incredibly productive. So at the time that I decided I was going to go ahead and take this leap, I already had this whole list of to-dos and vendors and some things I haven't even gotten to yet, but are already on the back of the mind of, you know, once this thing grows a little more, to go ahead and start reaching out to those vendors and start setting up those relationships.
Well, that's inspiring for me and humbling to know that this little old podcast had something to do with your success as you started out. So when you decided to to open your practice, you had your action plan in place. And so what was your goal then at the time? Did you anticipate working out of your home, or were you looking for an office, or because you're doing a lot of criminal defense work, was it mostly a practice on the road? What were some of the guiding principles behind how and what shape your practice took off?
Right. So I envisioned this to be something that I'll grow, that I'll bring in more attorneys to help, bring in a staff. At the point that when we started, the other thing that was on the horizon for me is, my wife and I expecting a child. And so for me, it was important to get this thing up and get it going to a point where was sustainable by the time that the child came. And so that's in this coming October. And certainly we've done that. So for right now, the firm is really a virtual firm. So I work out of the house a lot, but I'm in court a lot of the time and meeting with clients out and about and in courthouses and libraries and, you know, wherever it's most convenient to the client and just trying to provide that extra level of care to the client.
Yeah, you know, criminal defense work is really one that puts a lot of emphasis or a lot of stress on being able to go where the clients are, because they don't always have the opportunity to come to you. And so you have to be mobile, you have to be able to get around. Now, some people address that by taking office space right next to the courthouse or close to where the clients are likely to be needing them. But others like yourself, and like we've had Aaron Gersensang on, who are largely mobile and work in a mobile environment because that's what their clientele demands. And so what has been your biggest challenge in that respect?
So for me is really establishing myself out where my firm is located. We have some really well-established older firms. And so establishing myself has been a little bit of a challenge without having that physical location. That being said, a lot of the processes that I put in place early on have really helped a lot being on the go. So the setup that I have really can go just about anywhere with me. I, can throw it in the car and take it to a courthouse or a client meeting and have access to all my tools wherever I'm at.
So let's talk a little bit about that setup, because you know, if you've listened to all these episodes, you know what a geekhead I am. So what's your platform of choice and your practice management software? What are you using to power this firm?
So, you know, Neil, much like yourself, I was an Apple fanboy for many years. I had all the iPhones and MacBook Pros and all these things. But as I got into the closer to opening up the firm, I had a really sort of bad experience with a MacBook Pro, which led me to want to change platforms for the firm, you know. And so I told you that once I left the state's attorney's office as a prosecutor, I went to work in corporate America. Well, I worked for Samsung Electronics of America and really saw kind of the benefits of the Android platform on the mobile computing side. And so what I use, so for my laptop, I use a Samsung Notebook 9, which is a really neat device that will actually has a pen, and I'm able to turn the laptop into a sort of a tablet. I can write on it. I can select things and grab things from my screen and send them out if I want to. I also supplement that with a Samsung Tab S4 that also has a pen. And this is, in my sort of practice, is really useful, because if I'm meeting with a client in the courthouse steps, I can have them sign off on engagement agreements right there digitally, send it off to everyone. I can take notes if I'm up before a judge. And it's really a nice platform. And then finally is my Samsung Note 9, which also has a pen. And so for me, it's just the ability. It's really a matter of size and power that I need, right? So at times I'm doing work on the cell phone, at times it's on the tablet, and other times it's on the laptop. And so that's given me a great range of mobility. Now, as far as the practice management software, you know, I'd urge all your listeners to try a couple out, because when I started this, when I was looking at setting up the firm, I must have looked at 7 or 8 of them. And many of them have similar features, you know, but the one that we decided to go with is Practice Panther.
Sure.
I really liked it really because it kind of gave you a little bit of everything that you wanted. It has the document preparation sort of side where I can set up templates and it'll automatically generate forms for me. There are intake forms that I can just email out to my clients. I can do all my payments and it'll track all my payments. I can set up payment plans through Practice Panther. And they even waive my law pay fees, so I'm able to accept credit cards. And when you're on the go, the credit card really is the way to go. The other thing I really like with Practice Panther is the ability to integrate and use tools like Zapier to make it work with my other tools, right? Right. The other thing I haven't heard talked a lot about in your show that I find probably the tool other than the practice management software that I use the most is the Dragon Naturally Speaking Legal. This is a speech to text sort of software that will type for me. I type very slowly. So for me, it's a godsend to be able to just sit back and talk and then go back and edit the text. It's a bit pricey, but it was a well worth the investment.
So fellow law entrepreneurs, I wanted to take a moment here to welcome our newest sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the good folks over at Podium.com. So here's the problem. There are too many communication channels that we have to manage in order to interact with potential clients, existing clients, and former clients. You know, email is getting difficult to deal with because, particularly with potential clients, it's difficult to cut through the clutter. And the fact of the matter is that the vast majority of our potential clients are using their mobile devices as opposed to desktop communications. And that lends itself primarily to the text messaging paradigm as opposed to using email. So what if you could interface with a number of different platforms using a single dashboard via text messaging? Wouldn't that make life a lot easier? Well, that's what Podium is all about. With Podium, you'll be able to conveniently manage and respond to every message across multiple channels, all from that single platform. So So if a potential client reaches out to you via your Facebook business page or a Google listing of some sort, or maybe through your own website, all those messages will come into Podium to the single dashboard interface, and you can respond to them right then and there or at a later time from a single location. And it just makes life a lot easier to deal with. Or take, for example, the idea where you want to solicit a review from an existing client or customer. Well, with Podium, the invitation or to go and leave a review is sent via text message to that client with all the appropriate links, so that when they click on that on their phone and then enter their review, it's posted to the Podium and you get feedback on the platform that that's been done. So it's a great way to centralize, as I said, all that interaction. Same way with, let's say, feedback. You wanted some feedback from a client about how well your team or your office has performed. You can solicit that feedback in the form of survey questions or the like directly from the Podium dashboard. And it goes out via text message to that client. So it's really an interesting way to consolidate all these interactions. And if you're managing a team of individuals at your solo or small firm practice, Podium gives you the opportunity to communicate with them all in one central location using the platform, the dashboard, to generate text messages to your team, either individually or collectively as a group. And look, let's face it, we all know that we have a lot of happy customers out there, happy clients. In fact, one statistic that I read said that 83% of law firm clients are willing to leave a positive review, but only 23% actually do so. And I think that's because of the friction associated with going through the process. If you can reduce that or eliminate that friction and make it easier for your client to leave a positive review, you're gonna get more. And why not take control of your online reputation by giving all your customers a voice, not just a handful of the angry ones? So one of the things that Podium has seen over the course of their interaction with other clients is that users see a 6% increase in revenue just from the improvement in the review process alone. Because, you know, reviews matter. And the way you show up online determines who shows up at your door. So I'm really delighted to have Podium as a new sponsor. Check them out. Go to podium.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, podium.com/TLE for 10% off your monthly subscription. It becomes the obvious choice online when you look at it. So go to podium.com/TLE to get started and save 10%. And I am honored to welcome podium.com as a new sponsor to the law entrepreneur. Yeah, you know, a lot of folks who like to dictate love, it's dragon speak, is it?
It's the dragon, naturally speaking, and they have a legal version, which picks up on a lot of the legal terms a little better. Yeah.
I haven't followed it all that closely. I mean, I had an earlier iteration that I used for a little bit, but for me, I had difficulty kind of getting into the habit of using voice to generate documentation. And, you know, a lot of platforms now have that to some degree built in inherently in the platform and the underlying operating system. But those that I know who like to dictate and like to use voice recognition software love the Dragon, you know, product. So that's not too surprising. We had, going back to Practice Panther for a moment, we had David Bitton, the founder of Practice Panther, on our show way back in episode 100, the even number 100. And one of the things I like most, as you said, about that as a platform for practice management was their level of integration, their ability to, just as you said, use things like Zapier and others, and just really, they spent a lot of time building specific integrations to other tools right into their platform. So it really can be as expansive as you want it to be.
Right. And, you know, one other feature that I really like is a multiple timers. So I can have, you know, because oftentimes I'll be, you know, going through discovery or watching a video or doing something that I have a timer going for, and then inevitably you get the client phone call and then maybe a, you know, email or text message or something. And so I'm able to have multiple timers going all at the same time to make sure that, you know, as a solo practitioner, it's really vital that you track each and every moment and that you're billing appropriately. You know, you can always discount on the back end, but if you don't capture that information on the front end, it's really hard for you to give accurate, you know, quotes to your clients and then those kinds of things. So the multiple timers has really been key for my practice.
Yeah, sure. Time is money.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, for sure. So you said that one of the challenges you had was just getting your name out there and making sure that you're known in the community. What kinds of things are you doing to promote your firm and to market your practice?
Right. So certainly as a prosecutor, you know, one of the things that I saw is that I got to deal with a lot of different attorneys all the time, right? So I was always looking attorneys up and as part of the job, just kind of, you know, looking at web presence for a lot of attorneys. And there were a lot of attorneys that had just really poorly done websites, right? So for me, one of the important things up front is to have a good looking, professionally done website.
Which yours is, I might add.
Thank you. I certainly put some dollars into that, but I think it's important that people, when they see your presence online, is just as important, much like you wouldn't walk into court with a frayed suit or something. You know, you don't want to have your web presence not looking good. And so with that goes, you know, the logo and logo design and everything kind of plays a part with that. The other thing that I've done is trying to be more conscious of my networking efforts. To that end, I use a software called Contactually.
Sure.
And that what that does is every day it generates, you know, some folks that I haven't maybe talked to in a while. It puts people into buckets, and it basically nudges me to reach out and talk to those people. And you know, I find that I'm getting more referrals now just from letting people know that I'm here and I'm opening up shop and I'm here to help. And so that has been really, really key for me. And the other tool that I use is called, the website's called Handwritten. And on Handwritten will allow you to send out notes, thank you cards, birthday cards, that kind of thing. And so as I'm on the go and I get a referral from another attorney, I'm making sure that I'm going on my end and making sure they're getting a thank you note from me. You know, sometimes when you're on the go, you forget to do that stuff back at the office. And Handwritten makes it easy. They even have an app, and so I can just do it through the app on the go at the courthouse and make sure that they're getting something that looks great. It doesn't look like it was printed, and it's been a great product for me.
Well, all those pens on all your devices really make that you know, a useful tool.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
it really does.
And of course, we had again, not to keep, you know, promoting past episodes, but obviously you took some good notes. Because episode 4, way, way back when, we had Zvi Band, who is the creator and founder of Contactually, on. And it's a great tool. Of course, they've been sold recently. They're owned by a different company now, but it's still under the Contactually brand, at least for right now. But as you said, it's a great tool for managing relationships and kind of reminding you when to contact that person and you haven't spoken to them in a while, and or when to reach out and create a touch point with that individual.
Right. And Contactually will also do something they call email scraping, you know, where they'll go through your emails, you know, and get contact information out of there. And so, you know, that attorney that you may have exchanged a bunch of emails with, but maybe not necessarily noted down their contact information, Contactually is grabbing that. And so sometimes, although I may not have it, let's say, saved on my phone, sometimes I'll be able to refer back to Contactually, and Contactually will have drawn that out of the emails, and I'll have that information somewhere.
Yeah, just to geek out even further a little bit, have you tied Contactually to Practice Panther, or is that an integration that they have available to you, so you only have to put that contact information in one location?
Right. So that is not something I've been able to do. Some I would love to do. I just haven't been, honestly, had the time to figure out how to get that accomplished.
Yeah. I had somebody recommend to me that I asked the question, well, how do I get the information into Contactually from my practice management software. And they said, actually, go the other way. Put the information in contextually and then use Zapier to create a contact in your practice management software.
Right. Yeah. So, that's certainly something to look at. Yeah,
so that was an eye opener for me. Oh, I never thought about making it work the other way. So that was kind of interesting. Today, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the folks at Jurisdiction. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150. That's like the Law Entrepreneur 150 for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. You talk about the website and how important it is to have a good website. Somebody told me the other day, you know, you're very rarely going to get clients just because you have a great looking website, but you sure can lose them if you don't have a good looking website.
Right. And the website, I mean, if anybody, any of your listeners want to take a look at it, it's www.pierrecklaw.com. And it's not very, you'll look at it, it's not very fancy. I don't have a lot of things popping up and moving around and doing all kinds of stuff, but it is nice and clean. And that's what I want to present myself as, somebody who is professional in the way they're appearing, and everything is clean. And the client does get the impression that this was professionally done, that I didn't, you know, do it on. And the worst are the attorneys that clearly have had their web pages up since the, you know, 1990s, and have never like taken a step to update it. You know, so it's certainly important to make that investment.
Yeah, it is for sure. You also talked about the fact that being a past prosecutor, you know, you had a pretty heavy caseload working in the state's attorney's office. And so you came across a lot of attorneys and saw them in action. I'm sure there were a lot of lessons that you took from that experience and have tried to incorporate now that you're on the other side of the aisle. Does anything stand out to you and that you would suggest is in part responsible for the success of your firm?
Yeah, I think it's the way I talk to, especially my criminal cases, the way I talk to prosecutors, right? It's just an understanding that to the prosecutor doesn't care about your client the way you care about your client, right? The prosecutor cares about his case or his or her case, his workload. You know, so when I approach my cases, you know, I don't try to sell the merits of my client so much as, you know, the deficiencies in the state's case, and kind of try to walk them through, like rationalize with them what the likely outcome of the case is. Because often that's a more fruitful conversation than having both sides dig in. So certainly talk and understanding that they have a job to do as well, and kind of incorporating that into discussions. I certainly don't try to antagonize opposing counsel because I'm trying to work something out with them and be cordial through all phases of the trial process.
You know, when I was in law school, I did all my internships in the state's attorney's office. And so I saw a lot of cases presented. And the one thing I noticed in my observation was, you saw the same criminal defense attorneys coming back over and over again with different clients and working with the same prosecutors over and over again, who have different objectives. And one thing I took away from that is that if you don't get along with the prosecutor, you're going to see them again in another case.
Right.
And so that really set the standard for me when I started litigating family law cases and personal injury cases. There's no reason to be disagreeable, because if you're in this business long enough, you're going to come back in contact with these same attorneys or these same judges or these same prosecutors over and over again. And you're going to make your life much more difficult if you're going to be difficult.
Right. Yeah. I was always taught to just be the most reasonable person in the room when you're in court, and that doesn't mean you give in your positions. I think you being agreeable, you being somebody that's nice and people can get along with, you get a lot more with honey than you do with vinegar, right? So certainly that goes in my sort of practice. I mean, you're talking about continuances, extending deadlines, trying to work out plea agreements, and I feel like if you antagonize, especially prosecutors, if you antagonize them at the get-go, you're not going to get concessions here or there, and if you want to nurture those relationships, it's better for all your clients.
Yeah. So how do you see the staffing challenge as you start to build up here? Do you anticipate using some of the virtual assistants or part-time support? Or are you thinking that when the time comes, you're going to go more for a full-time, either paralegal or another attorney?
So the plan is to start with some of the virtual services. Probably the first step will be receptionist service.
Yep.
And then at that point, I probably will look to hire a paralegal, and then finally a full-time attorney. Because the truth is, if I can eliminate dealing with a lot of the administrative things, I can do probably some amount of work more, right?
Sure.
And a paralegal would just multiply that just by eliminating all the out of court stuff that I do, and then at that point, bringing in another attorney would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so that seems to be a pretty straightforward progression, going from some virtual assistants to a paralegal, even maybe not a full time paralegal, and then ultimately moving up to an associate. In terms of virtual assistants, I'll put a quick plug in for one our sponsor, Call Ruby, Ruby Receptionists. They're my receptionist service, and I can't say enough about them. So they're great. So, are you involved in social media at all? I know a lot of folks, particularly again who focus on criminal defense, are a little bit shy of using social media in any way, because there's some issues there with respect to their kind of practice. Do you have any concerns about that, or do you participate in that way?
Yes. So I do have a Facebook, Twitter presence. If you search for us on Facebook at Pyrrhic Law, you'll find our page. I don't do a ton exactly for the reasons that you describe. There certainly are there are issues with client privacy and those kinds of things. That being said, my retainer agreement does cover that, to allow us to do that. But even still, I really hesitate to delve into that too much. That being said, I mean, I think it's important to advertise your wins, every so often. Also, I mean, one of the things that I want to do more of is just put out information for clients, you know, because we get a lot of questions, also a lot of like hot button issues in the media. For instance, you know, for there's a time where there's a question about what is a conspiracy, you know, and so just kind of enlightening people, but not only in the practice, the criminal practice area, but also, you know, we do some work in other practice areas, you know, real estate. I'd like to branch out into immigration law at some point. And so, you know, certainly it's a platform to do there. I certainly want to do more with that, but it's been a little bit of baby steps getting to there.
Sure. No, I can understand. All right. Well, Rick, listen, it's been a delight sharing some time with you today. Tell our audience, you did mention it earlier, but tell our audience how they may go about reaching out to you if they want to follow up with anything you had to offer today.
Sure. My email address is rick@pierrecklaw.com. That's P-I-E-R-E-C-K. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter. If you have any questions, please feel free to give me a call, and we're always available.
Perfect. All right, Rick. Well, let's stay in touch, and good luck to you as you go forward. Thanks ever so much for being a fan of The Law Entrepreneur and being on here today.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you so much.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program, and our newest sponsor, Codeum.com. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year. But we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.